Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
This is Sound and Vision from KEXP in Seattle. I'm Emily Fox. Waxahachie is out with a new album. It's called Saint Cloud.
That's what I wanted. It's not as if we cry a river, call it rain. West Memphis is on fire in the light of day. Give me something.
Katie Crutchfield is the name behind Waxahachie. She joins me now to talk about this record. Hello.
Hi.
So you've said that there are two big themes on this record, addiction and codependency. And you hear some of that in your song War. Can you tell me a little bit more about the song War?
Yeah, totally. It's funny. Codependency and addiction really go completely hand in hand. You kind of don't. I feel like you don't have addiction without codependency usually. But War is. So just to give a little context, I got sober 2 years ago. And, you know, I really wrote this album in all different phases of that, but War was one where I really kind of wanted to show a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of like my mind as I was sort of recovering from this addiction that I'd struggled with, like just kind of the, I don't know. I think it's, we see sober people and they're so, I think sometimes people think like, oh, well, obviously that was the right choice. And they, you know, they are clearly so much happier now. And that is like overwhelmingly true. But, you know, I feel like that when you quit something like drinking, when it was a problem, there's a lot of things that were leading you to drink. And when you quit, all of those things are there. And they're like heightened and in technicolor, and you sort of have to face them in a way that you have been evading for so long. So that was really what I wanted to capture in War, just sort of that, like all of these like demons, for lack of a better term, were heightened. And that, you know, that was kind of causing me to lash out at people that maybe didn't deserve it, or sort of like, you know, like point the finger places when really the finger should have been pointed at myself. So I wanted to kind of, I feel like that's a really common experience it's a shared experience for people who are going through what I'm going through. So I wanted to write a song that sort of articulated that.
I had read an article, something that you had looked back at a diary entry and you were 17 and you were like, I need to stop, you know, drinking now. So I'm just curious, like how long has this been something that you'd struggled with in your life?
A long time. Yeah. I mean, I quit when I was 29 and that was when I was 17. I sort of started really drinking a lot when I was about 17. So yeah, like 12 years, I guess. And you know, my bottom was very high. Like I was very high functioning. And it was really like more of just a lifestyle, just as a touring musician, that so many people sort of in my same position, have the same issue. And for me, it was just sort of seeing things about myself. So it was just like foundational things, like just things that were like me at my core and like how I want to present, like things about myself that I love, were just really like hindered by it. And I saw that for a long time, but it was always sort of cloudy. And it was always so hard for me, especially when I was younger, to visualize a life without alcohol being a big part of it. It was just so embedded in my lifestyle and just in the culture I was like participating in. So it was, you know, it was a really slow process getting to the point where I finally, I had thought about quitting a lot and slowing down a lot, but it really didn't feel like something I could actually do and sustain until I finally did, when, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine, as a touring musician, so much of it is, you know, late night shows, you know, partying, you know, getting to know some of your fans in some cases. And that's just kind of par for the course. So, you know, congratulations to you for being able to tackle that. But I'm just curious, now that you found sobriety, how has that impacted you as a songwriter? I've heard you say, you know, you feel like you're more productive now, but maybe you've struggled with, you know, finding lyrics now that you're sober. So I'm just curious, like, from a songwriting perspective, how have things changed for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's made things harder, but the fact that it's harder ultimately, I think, results in better songs. I think, if that makes any sense. Like, I think that for St. Cloud particularly, I really labored over it, over the lyrics. They did not come as easily as they maybe have come in the past. But as I zoom out, I feel like, oh, this is the closest I've ever gotten to articulating things exactly how I meant to. You know, it's like the happiest I personally ever have been with something I've written. So I have to sort of assume that, like, I'm operating with this new clarity and this sort of new perspective of, like, looking at myself honestly and sort of, like, critiquing myself honestly. So in that way, it's good for the lyrics and it's good for the songwriting, but it definitely takes me a longer time. I'm more particular. Yeah, it's just more of a labor. But I think that ultimately it has helped my songwriting.
Yeah. I mean, it's you're more thoughtful about it, it seems. And of course, that's going to be harder to do. In some of other songs on this album, you talk about, you know, stories of friends who have struggled with addiction. You hear it in the songs Arkadelphia and Ruby Falls. Can you talk a little bit about the stories behind those songs?
Yeah, I mean, Arkadelphia is really personal, so I'm going to keep that one kind of to myself. It's just about a person that's still a big part of my life. But I can tell the story of the song, which is just that it's about a person in my life who I grew up with and I'm very close to, and just sort of about our shared experiences as children and then growing up to, you know, both kind of have struggles with addiction, this person having a much harder go and kind of being more in the throes of, like, the real repercussions of, like, serious addiction and getting really close to death, and kind of just writing about that experience of just kind of, like, helping this person, or, like, trying to help this person, realizing I can't help this person, all of that stuff. And then, you know, the end of that song is really about recovery. It's about that shared language that we have and how we can kind of both be at ease and also see, like, you know, recognize the fragility of sobriety and all of those things. So that's a general description, but that's what that song is about.
When she was young, she kept to herself. Now she regrets sending me straight to hell. She kissed my cheek, she touched my skin, she said, you're just as stupid as I was back then.
Ruby Falls is about my friend Tripp, who I've written a lot of songs about, who passed away when we were younger, about 10 years ago, from a drug overdose. And that song is just about our friendship. It sort of starts off, you're up in the sky. It's like a high. You're flying high and feeling great and don't really see the consequences of your actions.
I take flight on borrowed time. I was once terrified of heights. I say a prayer. I look down when I'm ready to die.
And then, you know, the middle part of the song is sort of the sort of more cold reality down on earth. And that part is too, just kind of about, like, a really, like, the romance of friendship and just, like, connecting with someone, even platonically. And it's inspired, a lot of that part of the song is inspired by Just Kids, Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe. And then the ending of the song, the last, like, little tale of the song is about the next part of that, which is, you know, the result of drug addiction, which sometimes is death, and that was the situation here. So yeah, that one's about my friend Tripp.
Sing a song at your funeral, light in the Mississippi gold, back home at Waxahachie Creek. You know you got a friend in me.
You know, here at KEXP, we hold these days called Music Heals. So we focus sometimes on death or addiction or mental health. And, you know, throughout these days, we'll focus on one issue and then, you know, listeners will write in and share their stories. And we share those stories on air and the songs that got them through the process. And I'm curious with you when it comes to just, you know, reaching sobriety and going through that process. Do you feel like music was healing for you? Or did you have to kind of step away from music in order to kind of reevaluate your life? Where did music play or didn't play into that transition for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel like I really wanted to take a break from music for a while, only because it had just become so much of my identity. And because of that, even like, I think that my struggling with alcohol was kind of taking up, I feel like the like music and like the lifestyle that it had kind of created for me was just feeling unhealthy. And I needed to just like focus on taking care of myself. I'd used music as, you know, the main vehicle for healing in the past. And I needed to kind of take a break from that in order to like feel the magic with music again. And I really wanted to like come to that on my own. I think, you know, I was trying these old tricks of like, you know, come on, this is what you do when you feel bad. You like write songs and then like they, you know, you write these like sad, gut-wrenching songs and people relate to that. And I just really wanted to like try a new way. I think that I was sort of bored with my own technique in that way. And I wanted to kind of like try and like focus on feeling better first. And also it wasn't working. I mean, I wasn't like able to really write music in that state anymore. So I was like, I really want to like focus on like feeling better and just like focus on my friendships and focus on my relationship and focus on, you know, like making my house feel like a safe, healthy, beautiful space. And like just things like that, like just all these different things about being a person I wanted to like take pride in and like be more conscious of things that I had really like neglected in the past. So I think that, yeah, I really, for this record particular, I mean, it's been different for everyone, but for this record, I felt like I needed some space from my identity as like a career musician. And that really worked. I, you know, after like 6 months to a year of kind of, you know, of course I was still playing shows here and there and still like singing a lot and, you know, picking up a guitar pretty often. I wasn't like really trying to like hammer out a record. And in doing that and giving that space, you know, after a while, all I wanted to do was make a record, which was great. And it kind of gave this record like a really nice sort of hopeful, excited tone that maybe the other ones haven't had in the same way. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I'm speaking with Waxahachie. Her latest album is called St. Cloud. So another thing that I want to talk to you about is, you know, your album dropped at the very end of March and the world has changed a lot since then, especially here in the U.S. with the coronavirus and everything. And I'm just curious how, you know, all of this change with the coronavirus, you know, tours being canceled, venues being closed, people having to stay at home, how that's impacted you musically. I'm assuming you probably had to cancel some dates, you know, on your tour. So ultimately, how do you think, how has coronavirus impacted you as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, me, like everyone else, really, literally everyone else on earth, I'm my life and business has been interrupted, which is unfortunate. But I feel like, I feel kind of two different ways about it. I mean, for me personally, I think that it was a drag to have to, we didn't have to cancel any dates, which is very lucky. We just moved everything. So our tour is still more or less intact. It's just going to happen in the fall now. But as far as putting the record out when I did, I've really been looking at it sort of as, I feel like this is my most hopeful record and it feels really appropriate for it to come out right now. Like it feels like the subject matter, even if it's not obviously not about a global pandemic, but I feel I had the feeling of like, I think people will hear this even more deeply right now than they would normally. And I'm just kind of like happy to be of service, you know, like people need music now more than ever. And I was very happy that I was here to give it to them, you know, here to give people new music. It felt really correct. And in a way I was like, maybe this was, you know, I think that people, I definitely was like given a lot of different bits of feedback about it. And some people sort of looked at it as sort of like a, oh, I'm so sorry that like this is going to affect your album release. And I just like never had one moment of feeling that way. I really kind of from the beginning was just like, people need music. And it's, you know, in a way it's weirdly kismet that it happened to come out right in this moment where like everybody maybe needs it more than they even normally would. So it feels good to be of service.
Well, thank you for putting it out. I mean, we're seeing so many folks kind of delay their records because of the coronavirus, but it is such a beautiful record. You know, the sound of it, the songwriting, the lyrics, everything. It really, it's an album that I feel like transports you, which is exactly what we need right now. So thanks for being willing to putting it out during this time.
Of course. Yeah.
I've been speaking with Katie Crutchfield of Waxahachie. Her latest album is called St. Cloud. Katie, thank you so much for chatting today.
Of course. Yeah, thank you.
Well, speaking of the coronavirus impacting us all, it's getting to the point where we are all really starting to miss our friends, family, even coworkers. So this week's listener question was, what's a song you want to dedicate to someone you can't see right now? Here were some of your answers.
My name's Andy. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, and my kids live in Seattle with their mom. They're aged 12 and 15. And I've been flying out there every 3 weeks for about the past 8 years to see them, and they've been coming to see me in the summers and spring break. They were supposed to be with me this week, but of course they can't come because of the lockdown. So instead of that, we've been Skyping every day to talk about songs and poetry, and I'm hoping that I can send a song out to them today. I want to send out Time Rider by the Chromatics. It was one of the first songs I introduced them to that they actually admitted was cool. And I think it's appropriate now. We're all sort of time riders now, losing count of hours, chasing faces lost in time, and singing songs of things to come. So for Lathe and Farah, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to see you again.
Chasing faces lost in time. Seven children dream of sleep. Losing count of hours to keep. Singing songs from
I'm Conrad Ball. I'm from Issaquah, Washington, and I'd like to dedicate the song Volcano from Presidents of the United States to our daughter, Annalena. She is currently in Osnabrück, Germany, with our nephew and his wife, Ali and Johanna. Annalena normally lives in Utrecht, Netherlands, and she was able to actually go to Osnabrück just before Utrecht imposed some very strict stay-at-home orders. Presidents and the song Volcano are very special to Annalena and I. It was one of her first CDs, and it reminds her and us a lot of the Pacific Northwest with all of its references. My wife and I had plans to go and meet Annalena in Utrecht in just a couple of weeks, but because of the conditions here and in Europe, we're really not sure when we're going to get back to see her. We hope the song reminds her of home and that she knows that she's always in our thoughts. Thanks to KEXP and all of your listeners for everything you do.
My name is Troels Heidel. I live in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York. Ever since moving here from Denmark in 2015, I lived most of my life with family and old friends via screens. This strange condition especially hit me regarding my relationship to my niece, Isdronning Nalva, and my nephew, Tornshus Kjersten Villers. During a visit home last year, I realized that my niece and I had only ever been in the same space 5 times in her 5-year life. But because of these video calls, we're still very close, and she's completely calm with me. And regarding my old friends, I miss them, and I miss out on celebrating the big holidays with them. So I would like to dedicate Quiet Little Voices with We Were Promised Jetpacks to my friends in 7A, as this is the song we would normally hear when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve and we would go ape. And I know it's early, but please play it loud so we can all get our air guitar on and dance like there's absolutely no pandemic. Thank you, KEXP. Thank you for all the music.
Thanks to everyone for sharing their story. I now leave you with the final question of the show. Why does music matter? Here's Waxahachie.
It's just the most universal thing that we have as humans. You know, I feel like it people can hear it and react to it no matter where they come from, no matter where they're at in their life. Like, I just feel like it's, it's like the great connector more than anything else. I think that it connects us all as humans. And I think that that's why it matters.
That was Sound and Vision. We'll have another podcast ready for you tomorrow featuring new music. This week, we've been able to grab interviews with Shabazz Palaces, Lito Pimiento, and Ed O'Brien of Radiohead, who's releasing a new solo record on Friday. Stay tuned for those conversations coming up on a future Sound and Vision podcast. And before we go, open up that podcast app right now and give Sound and Vision a review and a rating. Let us know how we are doing. You can also go the extra mile and give a one-time $20 donation at KEXP.org/sound. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll chat more tomorrow.
That's what I wanted. It's not as if we cry a river calling rain. West Memphis is on fire in the light of day. Give me something.